Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank the Lord for another beautiful day He's blessed us with. I thank Him for a little bit of rain that we got at home this afternoon. Just always blessed to get a little bit of that nowadays. But my name is Brother Bobby Lennon Roberts. I have been here a time or two before, if I remember right. I was telling Brother Bronner last night, I said, I always love coming here because we got to talking about here and got to talking about there at New Harmony. I said, Hilltops kind of reminds me of New Harmony. He said, well, New Harmony is kind of like Hilltop to me. So I'm glad that preaching brothers can go to sister churches like that and feel like it. You know, I always feel love when I come here, and I'm always thankful to walk into a house of God and see people smiling and conversing and getting along with each other. I let you know everything's going good. I'm not saying that you're not going to have your problems and your bumps from time to time, but you got enough love for each other and enough respect for each other and enough love for God to get them things out of the way and be able to serve and worship God like we need to. I'm thankful tonight that we still serve a living God tonight, and He still manifests Himself to us. Brother Bronner come up to me this morning. I'll say this before I get started. Brother Bronner come up to me this morning. He said, so you going to Hilltop tonight? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I got you a sermon wrote out already that's about this thick. And he said, it's directly towards the pastor. I said, are we going to be there all night? He said, well, you might be there all night. I said, well, we'll wait for that sermon another night because I don't want to wear nobody's patience tonight. But I love Brother Bronner. Get to know him a little bit better this week. And, of course, fell in love with him and his wife. Fell in love with Brother Marty and his wife. And just praying for him. I lift my preaching brothers up because this world needs the Word of God. If we don't need the Word of God no more than we need it today, we need it today. We need the gospel to go out. We want to confine the gospel of Jesus Christ within the south side of the four walls of the church. We think when we go out into the world that we just do and live what we want to do. But I want you to understand, when Jesus sent them out on the Great Commission, He told them to go. And He said, I'll be with you always. I'm thankful that my God is with me always, Brother Jeff. When I'm down there in the valley, He's with me. And when I'm on the mountain, He's with me. How thankful tonight. But if you got your Bibles and you want to follow along, it's going to be a little bit of a lengthy reading lesson tonight, found in chapter 12 of Acts. I do ask you to pray for me tonight. I covet your prayers tonight. Starting with the first verse, it says, now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now we're going to stop right there just for a minute. If the Lord wants, we'll continue reading. If not, we'll just stop right there. We just want to follow the Lord tonight, and that's what we want you to do tonight is follow the Lord. If I'm up here preaching and God places upon your heart to get up and testify, just go ahead and do it. He wants me to keep preaching, I'll keep preaching. If not, I'll sit and I'll listen and I'll go about his business. But tonight, I guess if I had a title of this message, it would just be pray. You say, well, how do you get that, preacher? Well, I want us to understand here. In the second verse, it says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this is James, the son of Zebedee, if I remember correctly. But I want us to understand he was the first one that was martyred of the apostles. Now, verse 3, and it says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, talking about Herod here, he said he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. You see, it was in his plan to go ahead and kill Peter as well. I believe in his mind that, and I just try to think like these people did back then, but I believe within his mind, he thought if he could get rid of Peter as well, that would be two out of the way. That would be two less preachers telling people about Jesus Christ. You look today, we think we get persecuted and all that today. We hadn't seen nothing yet. You go back to the apostles' times and when they was walking the earth preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You look what these brothers had to go through. Look at Paul, what he had to go through. Look at these other ones, what they had to go through. But I want us to understand tonight, and I said my thought was prayer. I believe in the church, and I'm going to say church tonight, and I'm going to say the church of God. Hilltop is just part of that. Just like New Harmony is just part of that. But the church is made up of the people. Each individual that's sitting in here tonight has been saved by the grace of God and baptized in his church. You are part of the church tonight. You represent Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church. So when you get to that condition and you're praying the way that God wants you to pray and you're reaching the throne, because I don't believe every time we pray, we reach the throne. But I do believe tonight that every time we say a word, every thought that we have, God knows exactly what it is. He may not answer that prayer because I believe sometimes we ask amiss. But prayer is a key to life. Prayer is a key to making it on a day-to-day basis. But the power of prayer is the greatest thing that we hold tonight. But verse 4 says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four cordons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now that four is 16 soldiers. Now you go down to the fifth verse and the sixth verse, it says, it was talking about where Peter was thrown in prison, and he had one soldier on one side and one soldier on the other. So he had a chain bound on his right hand to the left hand of the soldier on his right, and he had a chain bound to his left arm to the right arm of the soldier on his left. Now, why did he do that? They done that so he couldn't escape, so to speak. That's what it kind of feels like today, that the world is trying to do to God's church, is trying to put a chain on them. They're trying to hold us still so we can't escape. But I want you to understand, through the prayer of God's people, the angel will come by and he will loosen them chains and he will let us go. Oh, I'm thankful tonight that I've got a God that can still do that. You know, a lot of times us, the children of God, we don't believe God has still got the power that he had back then. Oh, but I'm going to tell you what he does. You can't hold God down. I want us to understand how God wants to bless his people. God wants his people to flourish. But we can't flourish if we don't believe that God still has the power. But Peter believed. I believe that's why an angel come in there. I believe Peter was praying just like Paul and Silas when they got through in prison. You know, tell you what, if a lot of us got through in prison, how would we feel? What's the first thing that would cross our mind? I don't know why in the world they would throw us in this prison. For I don't know why they would throw me in there. I didn't do nothing wrong. Then we'd have a little pity party for ourselves, wouldn't we? Lord, what am I going to do? Why is it happening to me? Why not? Oh, but Paul and Silas, they didn't sit there and they didn't complain. They didn't moan and groan and whine. And while they're in their own self-pity, they begin to sing praises unto God, it says. And what happened? Earthquake come, knocked all the doors off the hinges. That soldier run in there, and I believe he was scared for his life. And Peter told him, he said, hey, hold up, everybody's still here. Why did they go to jail? And then the prison guard come to him and said, what must I do to be saved? Why did they go to jail? God wanted them there. There was a purpose for them being there. Just like there's a purpose that you run into each and everybody in your life. God places people in our life for a reason. It's not by coincidence or just happened. God does it. And you never know what an individual is going through when you run up on them. Never. God may put you in their life for a reason, or that he may put them in your life for a reason, maybe because they just need uplifted a little bit. But you pray for that individual, just like you pray for your pastor, just like you pray for your brothers and sisters, as the Bible teaches us. You see a brother that's down, you help him up. So Herod was looking forward to killing Peter, I believe. He was looking forward for Peter to be gone. In verse 6, it says, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night Peter was sleeping. Of course, that's where he disappeared. Let's jump back on down here. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered him. Delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Verse 12, it says, and when he had considered a thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Where many were gathered together praying. I remember growing up and being younger, meeting at certain ones' houses during the week of time. I'd just have a good old-fashioned prayer meeting night. We'd go to each other's house. So why didn't you go to church? We went to people's house because that's what the Lord wanted. That's where the Lord wanted us at, and I want you to understand. We had some great services in these houses. Back at that time, it was a whole lot different than it is now. Because I remember when I was growing up, when I was young, when I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I can remember coming to church at Sunday school, and sisters of the church was just so burdened down, they was already on the altar before church even began. Church already started for them. Amen. Better yet, let me take a step back. Church never ended. I can remember my grandmother, she was down beside her bed every night praying. Every night. And then when they come to church on Sunday, they was ready already. They didn't wait to get to church to get ready to worship God. They was ready already. Then I hear people say, well, you think they was perfect back then. No, they wasn't perfect back then, but I want you to understand that they repented to God when they sinned. And the word repent nowadays amongst us as old-time missionary Baptists is a bad word. All we want to do is tell the lost people, you got to repent, you got to repent, you got to repent. God's people, you've got to repent. If you don't repent, you get away from God, you get cold. And I want you to understand something tonight, and this is just the way I believe. You get cold and indifferent with God, you are no use to God at that point in time. Some people don't agree with that. There's a teaching going around nowadays, I believe, that we could do anything we want as a child of God and still come into the house of God and be spiritual. It's starting to show. Amen. Why is it starting to show? Because we have turned away from God. You know, Satan's good at what he does. We forget a lot of times as children of God, we forget a lot of times the power that Satan has. But verse 13, it says, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now you would think if you was at the house and your brother was thrown in prison and you was at the house and you went to the door because somebody was knocking and you heard their voice, you would think she would have just opened the door. But I believe she was so excited because she knew Peter's voice. She was so excited she ran in and started telling everybody else. Hey, Peter's at the door. Peter's knocking. I believe the scripture here says, and let's see what it says here. Verse 15, it says, and they said unto her, thou art mad. They didn't believe her. If Brother Likens was thrown in jail and you knew he was going to be killed, or that was the whole thing of it, he was going to be killed. And then he comes up and you hear that on the door and you begin to hear his voice. And then you run back and told everybody, and they was like, no, you're mad. He's dead already. Would you believe it? I'd have a hard time believing it. I'd probably told the lady she was mad too. But it says, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. She didn't give up. That's the same way as us as children of God. When the Lord gives you something to do out in the world, testify to somebody, witness to them, let them know what you are and what you're about. And you're sitting there thinking because you're looking at them, and I know how it is a lot of times when you begin to talk to people, you can just tell by that expression on their face that they wish you'd just go ahead and be quiet and just go on somewhere else. I want you to understand, even God can get through to these people. But God is using you to get to this individual. Do not give up on them. Don't. You may have to work at it a little bit. It may take a little while. But God is going to do it on His time. We may think it ought to happen just like it. Sometimes it does. But sometimes it takes a little while. So she constantly told her brothers and sisters, it is Peter at the door. Finally, they believed her and they went and they seen that it was him and they believed. Well, what did Peter tell them? Hey, y'all just calm down. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. God delivered him, and then he tells his people to hold their peace. But I want us to understand something here. I believe the only reason that Peter got up out of that prison, for one, Peter was praying. Number two, the church was praying. Now, do you understand and see that the power of prayer works? You could pray for somebody all the way on the other side of the earth. And you know what? God can answer that prayer all the way over there on the other side. My cousin has got a brother that is in Poland. He's in the military and he does not have a testimony. But you know what? God can save him over in Poland just as well as he can save him over here. But you see, that's how prayer works. You know, he said he talked to him. He said, you know, he could just tell. He invited him to church and automatically he told him no. Why? I believe God is working on him. Because the Lord will condemn that heart and begins to work on them. You want to know something tonight? You got a lost individual that just seems like they're hard-hearted and can't be reached. Seek the Lord on them. You got another church member that's just not right and they're not in church and don't want to be here. Seek God on them. But they believed because they seen. How many of us like it? You don't believe it until you see it. You know, I've never seen Jesus, but I believe he's real. I don't have to see him. I see the evidence everywhere I go. Verse 18, it says, now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they come with one accord to him, and having made blessed is the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Or in other words, he made a speech to the public here. In verse 22, it says, and the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. How many people do you see in the world today that is putting men as gods and claiming they are God? I want you to know what happened to Herod here, and you can read on down there, and if the Lord wants me to, I will. If not, I'm done with it. But I want us to understand tonight. You read on down there, and you see to where Herod sat there, and he took it. He probably sitting there in his royal robe, purple robe and fine linen. He's, boy, they think I'm a god. Look at what I've done for these people. And it says the Lord smote him. And if I'm not mistaken, he began to be eat by worms. I looked a little bit up on that with the worms on that part because I wanted to know exactly what it was talking about. But it said back in that, or what I read was it said the tongue would swell up and it would fall off to the navel, and the worms would move from the navel to the, from the tongue to the navel, and from the navel to the tongue, and it would just eat them up. So that'd be a sad way to go. But you know, that was kind of one of the punishments as well. We look today as God not being as powerful and as strong as he used to be. I want us to understand today that God is still in control, and I want you to understand God can still take your life if he wants to. I believe it was Sapphire. It was Sapphire and her husband. I cannot remember his name. I believe it was Sapphire. But the ones that sold the land and kept some of the money back. Yeah. And then the brothers come to him and ask him about it, and he lied. What happened? Yeah. Husband fell over dead. Yeah. They was carrying him out. The wife come home. She lied about it. What happened? She fell over dead. My God is a loving God, but he's also a jealous God, and he's also a God of wrath. God deserves to be first in our life.
Amen.
And if we have no prayer life, God is not first in our life. Over in 1 Thessalonians, it says over 14th, 15th verse, somewhere right along in there, it says, pray without ceasing. Us as children of God should have a prayer upon our heart every day of our lives. Every day. Why? I get up every morning. I may not speak audibly, but I speak within my heart to the Lord to help me through whatever I may face that day. Help me through that. Help me be a light to you that I can witness to somebody. And I found it to be a true saying. Actions speak louder than words. The job I do is I get to work around not as many people now as I used to, but that's okay. But when you're at somebody else's house that you have no idea who it is, you've never met before in your life, and they tell your boss that there's something different about them guys right there. You see, the Lord has blessed me. I work with my brother. Me and him work together. I'm thankful for that. But we also work with another old-time missionary Baptist preacher, and and two more young guys that's been saved and members of the church, members of OA Missionary Baptist Church in Franklin. So the Lord has blessed me here lately. When I first started this job, I didn't know what to expect of it. I didn't know where it was going. I just prayed and asked the Lord, you just put me where you want me, and I'll do the best I can for you. He put me there. I had no clue. Then my brother come to work with me. I was like, you know, that's good. It's always good to have somebody of the like faith and order that you can work with. And then a little over a year later, he brings the other three in. Now I'm kind of seeing where this is going. Thanking the Lord for it every day. Because, you know, within my life, I needed some help. I was struggling. Didn't let nobody know it. I held it within myself. Put on a smile and act like everything was glorious. How many of you do that? You see, I think within myself, brother, you've got enough to deal with already. You don't need my problems upon you as well. But I took it to the one that could take care of it.
Amen.
But you know, it's always nice to have a brother or sister right there close to you that you can go to in confidence and faith and talk to them, and you know that they're going to pray for you. And you know that they're going to help you. I thank God I've got brothers and sisters like that. That I can pick up the phone at any time and call them at any time of the day or night, and they'll be there for me. And I hope and pray that they understand that I'm going to be the same way. I'm thankful for the love that is here.
Amen.
I love seeing that when I go somewhere else. Because brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you tonight, I've been to other places where you don't see it.
That's right.
When you can pull up and you feel the Spirit of the Lord when you pull up in the parking lot, you know you're somewhere. But prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to everything that God wants. I'll say this and I'll be done. Before you ever make any decision, pray and ask God if it's the right one or not.
Amen.
I don't care if you're buying a vehicle. I don't care if you're buying a house to move. I don't care what you're buying. You pray and ask God if it's the right thing to do or not. Because I believe a lot of times we put God out of the situation and we go on and do what we need to do, and then a little bit later on, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Put God in it. Keep God in your life through prayer. Because prayer is the key.